to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout. Joining us again, it's Emerald, hers. She's the Miami Queen dancing to the NYC Shuffle. She is a maker of cartoons and a little comedy on the side. She can be found on the C train, passionately singing in the heights under her breath and reading a gothic horror novel. She was with us a couple of episodes ago. We had to bring her back. She makes me giggle and laugh so much. Oh my God. We're definitely going to learn, laugh, and play so hard this week. Get ready. It's a great, great show. Hold on to your butts. So with our animation expert on board the Minority Corner Choo Choo Train today, we talk about the new animated series Kippo and the Age of Wonder Beast. It is breaking ground on the LGBTQ plus and diversity front. Also, which movie is Disney reaching into the animated vaults to give the live action treatment and ruin your childhood? Is this going to be a good thing? We discuss. Emerald has a mini review of Martin Lawrence and Will Smith's reunion for Bad Boys for Life, but who was left out of this movie, which is giving me some serious pause? We talk about our very own BAP herself, Meghan Markle, and her Megxit, as the kids are calling it. And also, that's not all that's leaving the UK. There seems to be a certain chicken joint that may be flying the UK coop. Is that Chigxit? Does that work? Chigxit? Get it? Also, did the UK really have a burial for the N-word? We need to discuss. Also, we have a new game. So you've heard of Marry, Fuck, Kill. Well, we play a game called Beyonce, Kelly, or Michelle. In the main corner, I walk us through the Roots expose that shows the Second Amendment may not have had as much to do with protecting your rights to protect yourself as a citizen as much as it does protecting the institutions of slavery, and how this amendment has and continues to oppress and kill black folks. All on the heels of the Second Amendment rally held in Virginia on Martin Luther King Day. Ugh. And then Emerald leads us through a beautiful, rich, juicy conversation that just has so many connected threads. It is so wonderful. And she walks us through a term she's coined, gentrifarming. And she examines the history of farming, black agriculture, and with this huge focus on sustainability and organic foods. But who really has access to this? Looking at you, Whole Foods. Plus, we dig into the Watchmen, black hair care products, and how Emerald has instituted her own form of modern-day reparations. Okay. So it's time to learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. Woo, we're here.
Amazing.
Can you keep up? Emerald, can you lose my breath? Emerald.
I'm running.
Wow, lose my breath, like as a literal version, it's terrifying.
It is.
Because you could like die.
You could, because you're just trying to keep up.
I can't.
Baby boy.
Beyonce, I can't keep up. Do you think that that song, Lose My Breath, was more so directed at Kelly and Michelle? Because she was like literally about to blow up.
Most
because
likely.
Because she did her Crazy in Love album, her Crazy in Love. Mm-hmm. Bam, bam, bam. And then she came back and threw the girls a bone. She was like, listen, girls. I've seen some things. I've done some things. I dropped some of the weight.
I've seen the top. It doesn't look like this. Keep up.
Kelly, Michelle. And you know, Kelly was like, oh, Beyonce, you know I can do it.
Yep.
Beyonce, look, I was taking some dance classes.
She was right behind her.
And then Michelle was like, hey, everybody, what? She has that like raspy cat
Michelle
voice.
Was like,
she was the one.
I can't keep up.
I bet she was the inspiration of the song.
Probably.
They were like, oh, Michelle's always struggling to keep up. They're like, Michelle, can you keep up?
She needs some motivation. Let's make a whole song about her.
That's what it was. Yeah. And then she couldn't keep up. There's even one part in like a Lose My Breath music video where they don't let her in on the dance off and they just put her in an alleyway to dance by herself.
No.
And they blow a fan. They blow a fan at her. You know, Beyonce loves her fans.
Yes.
It looks like Michelle's losing against the fan.
She can like barely stand up on two feet.
She's like holding onto the wall.
Bracing herself. Harness comes out of nowhere, like keep all hands and feet in the ride at all times.
She's terrified. So there's that. Well, you can keep up.
I surely can.
So since you're an animation expert, there is a new show. I don't know if you've heard about this. I've just been making all the airwaves. It's on Netflix. It's Netflix and DreamWorks Animation. It's called Kippo and the Age of Wonder Beasts.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And this is revolutionary because there's a character in it who comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. Not even like, because a lot of times sometimes they'll be like, oh, it's hinted at. Like, even in the She-Ra character.
Right.
She-Ra's show, there's a lot of like hinted at like LGBTQ stuff, which is great and fabulous. But this one, straight up, there's a character.
Binged it. Oh. I binged the whole thing in a weekend.
Yes.
And it's phenomenal. So what's great about this show is that it like, it's the first animated post-apocalyptic show for school-age kids, right?
Oh,
so
shit.
Kids are facing a lot these days, right? What does their reality look like? Oh, California is casually on fire and New York is 50 degrees in the winter. Of course, all they can imagine in a lot of instances is a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
So it's like the first piece of animation that's exploring that, and they did a great job with it. There's a ton of really fun music and colors in it. The animation is great. And
looks like the cast is diverse.
Yes, yes. The cast is amazing. The man who is one of the main characters in This Is Us is the dad.
Oh, Sterling K. Brown?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, and his voice is velvet.
Hi, Sterling.
Velvet.
You can be my animation daddy anytime.
Oh my gosh. No, the show's amazing. So it's basically about his daughter who gets, they live in a burrow.
Yeah.
And she somehow gets extracted from the burrow when like a mutant attacks the burrow. So then she surfaces and she's like, holy shit, this is what the surface world looks like. Uh-huh. And she flips out.
Yeah, as one would.
Right. And makes friends, one of them, which is a boy. And spoiler alert.
Yeah. Because this is early on, right? Well, there's clips floating all over.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Just say
it. Just say give it up.
Yes.
I know you want it. Do you want me to say it?
Do it.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're on a Ferris wheel.
Yes.
It's in the middle of the night. Mm. They're overlooking the post-apocalyptic realm. They're at the top of the Ferris wheel. They're falling in love. Oh, she just turned 13. She can feel her hormones pulsing through her pores.
I'm a teen.
She looks at him and says, I like you
Oh my God.
And he says, oh, I like you too. And she says, really? Is this how it's supposed to be when you're 13? And he's like, oh, like that. Hey, I'm gay.
That's amazing.
It's so good.
And just put out there. And it's like, I mean, I feel like I barely see adult television that's able to handle that so effortlessly and smoothly. That's amazing.
Right.
Snaps to that show.
I love the show. Please watch it.
Well, that's great. And it's sort of like on the heels of what you were talking about last time when you were here about what you would like to see animation doing.
Yeah, and then DreamWorks just kind of gave it to
Speak
us.
Speak it into existence. Look at you. I know. What else do you want? What else do we need? Speaking of animation, I know that you love animation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I remember it was either happened in real life or it was in a fever dream. I don't remember because there were zombies there. And that you were saying, I love animation. I wish everything that was animated got a live action remake.
I'm sure I said the opposite.
Okay, that's true. Well, fair. I can't remember. Okay. I can't remember what happened.
Literally.
So drum roll, please. Disney's next. Everyone's so terrified. They're like, please don't let
don't
it be my favorite.
It.
Please don't say Sleeping Beauty.
They
already
folks.
Did it. Their next animation to live action to make some money is going to be... Get your tissues.
Oh my gosh.
Bambi.
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 Bambi rolling down the street.
And Michelle will do the theme song. I'm Bambi. Don't get shy.
Can you keep up, please?
Well, the mother did not.
Oh, she couldn't keep up.
She couldn't.
Oh, goodness.
It's hard being a mom. A single mother. That dad was trifling. He was just off. Being all studly, he was kind of a studly deer.
He was.
Weird that I think
he was
that?
A little handsome.
Like Bambi's dad?
Yeah.
He was like, and then he said, keep up, son. That's pretty much the end of the movie.
Basically, after all that trauma, can only imagine how they're going to convey that in live action.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, ugh. I just saw the Aladdin remake, which I, on my Disney,
oh, you did?
My Disney Plus account, it's free, it's included.
So I have
It's fun. It's the same plot, so, I mean, that's a good plot.
Did you feel magic in your heart?
I felt like I was seeing a lot of brown people on the screen, so I was like, this is cool.
Okay.
It did kind of just feel like some folks were, like, cosplaying.
Well, that means that you saw Will Smith as the genie.
I did, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, magical. Okay. I mean, it was Will Smith, like, he's just doing his thing.
Smith really is just out here like, I'm Will Smith, and that's it.
And that's fine. It's what we've been loving from him for the longest time. Didn't you see, you saw Bad Boys.
I saw Bad Boys for life.
Bad Boys for life.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
Can I say I haven't seen it, and here's why I'm waiting for an airplane for it.
Okay.
It's on my airplane movie list.
Yes.
I'm a little upset.
Why?
Because a certain character isn't in... Gabrielle Union is nowhere to be found in this movie.
Mm-mm, she's too busy with the fam. She's too busy with Dwayne.
Okay, here's the problem.
She has a life.
This is what happens with like women in these action movies. They just get sort of sidelined. Because here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, and I don't think a lot of people do know this. She's actually in a spinoff TV series called LA's Finest with her. And it's just playing the same character that DA from Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
And it's set in that world. It's called LA's Finest.
Are you
and it's
serious?
Her and Jessica Alba.
Is it good?
I don't have Spectrum streaming service. It's only on Spectrum.
What?
Along with the Mad About You.
It's the character from Bad Boys. Yes,
it's a spinoff.
With her own show.
She's got her own show.
And no one knows about it. Literally the lowest flying radar.
I don't even think that like Martin Lawrence and maybe Will Smith know that it exists.
Probably not. It was probably mentioned to them in like in hair and makeup and they're like, oh.
Oh.
Anyway.
Okay. Good luck, Gabby. But she even said they're like, she's like, I'm available.
And they're like, gonna pass on this one. Yeah. Sorry, Gab.
So that's why I'm for rum pump about it, because I feel like that happens to women in action scenes all the time. Like Paula Patton in the Mission Impossible series, she pops up in number 4.
Right.
And then they're like, who?
Makes her debut, and then makes they're her, like, don't know who you
Rebecca
are.
Rebecca Ferguson's here now.
Right.
And then she got to keep coming back. Rebecca Ferguson.
Well, you know who is in Bad Boys for Life? Vanessa Hudgens, randomly.
Which I'm here for.
Me too, except she kind of had, she had a minor role. Like, it's not.
In the trailer, it makes it seem like. I was upset. I was like, ooh, no Gabrielle Union. They were like, but we got Vanessa Hudgens. And I'm like, okay.
She is a badass, which I can totally commend.
Doesn't she have like half of her like head shaved?
Yeah, half of her head is shaved.
Sign. And you're in a movie and you see half the head shaved.
Or
like,
if it's red.
Badass.
Or if the hair is red. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a minor role. She kind of plays like the side team. She's still badass. Okay. She still like has like a punchy personality, which I can appreciate. Yeah. But the movie overall was pretty funny.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
Wait. Worth the 20-year wait or however long it's been?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like the plot kind of takes a turn.
Okay.
And you're like, I was not expecting that. The only thing that I will say, and I'm going to warn you, is that they literally sing the song maybe every other scene.
Okay. They're like, you know what's funny? Bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? And then it's like, boom, 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 boom.
Bad boys. Ridiculous.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, they know what you came here to see. Play the hits.
Exactly.
Play the hits.
Over and over and over again.
It's like when you go to Michelle Williams concert, you're just like, do Single Ladies. She's like, that's not mine. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, back to Bambi, though.
Yes.
Okay. There's some things that I think is kind of winning for it.
Hmm.
So they've signed on screenwriters Geneva Robertson Dowitt. She worked on Captain Marvel and Tomb Raider, Tomb Raider. And then Lindsay Beer, who did Sierra Burgess is a Loser. I missed that one. Sierra Burgess is a Loser. Okay.
Anyone? Sierra Burgess is a Loser for one. Anybody?
Sierra Burgess is a Loser. I feel sorry that someone named Sierra Burgess listening. I feel like we're literally like a substitute teacher.
It's going down attendance. Sierra Burgess
is a Loser.
Is that how you pronounce it? Sierra Burgess is a Loser.
I feel like one of the corner kids got a hold of our notes and just wrote that in there. You corner kids. Well, she also wrote Tomb Raider. And then it's also produced by Depth of Field, who they did The Farewell. So what I do like is that there's a lot of women behind it. So I think that it can maybe add to, there's only one female character in Bambi.
Yeah, and it's the mom and she gets shot.
So it's like a thing that happens often, like with women in like movies where something tragic happens and it becomes the vehicle for like the protagonist, who's a dude, their journey.
Right, exactly.
So hopefully they'll add in some, you know, female characters. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. So we'll wait. We'll wait and see.
Find out.
Speaking of princesses, wasn't Bambi kind of the prince of the forest? Is that a stretch? Am I confusing that with Lion King?
King of the jungle, prince of the forest.
Yeah, aren't deer? Oh, no one says that. Deer. His dad, I will say,
is sexy. Has
big dick energy. Because wasn't he running around like he owned that forest?
Yes, he was. He didn't care about anybody.
Even his son.
No, only at the end he acknowledged.
And you know what's interesting in Bambi? You know who the villain is? Man. Because they burned down the forest.
Yes, exactly. They tear everything down.
So I think it can be a very sort of, it's like a Fern Gully sort of.
Yeah.
Good call.
And it coming back to life now is timely in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they can just film it like literally in LA. Mm-hmm. They don't need to go to like a green screen studio. They just go there and film. Oh, but you know, we've not talked about in this podcast yet.
What?
Meghan Markle.
What has happened to her? What's going on with them?
Our BAP.
I know, yeah.
Our Black African American princess.
Oh, I love that movie. I love BAPs.
She is a BAP. She's a real life BAP.
She truly is. In 2020, we have a BAP.
And the UK could not handle
it. No, they couldn't. So they're like, bye. We're going to Canada.
Deuces.
We're going to Vancouver Island.
And I say I'm sad because I liked the idea of, you know, her being there.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah, same here. It's like, it's kind of like, well, one, that transition has to be quite impossible if you weren't around that, obviously. Yeah. But also, like, they, before making that announcement, were in Vancouver Island, Canada, with their baby hanging out.
They were like, this is nice.
Right. And so then they were like, yeah, just like a quote unquote temporary period while we transition. But what was interesting about their statement was they said, I believe it was in hopes to become financially independent.
Mm.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, because she was listening to some Beyonce. Because she met Beyonce.
What?
Oh, yeah. There's a great video clip where it's at the premiere of The Lion King, coming full circle.
Look at, oh, my goodness.
Disney Plus always coming up in the conversation.
Disney Plus.
Sponsored by Disney. So it's an amazing clip. Oh, and in this clip, this is great. So in this clip, I think his name, who's the head of Disney? Is it Bob Iger?
I don't know.
Okay. He's also there. It's at the premiere of The Lion King in the UK.
Yeah.
Beyonce and Jay-Z are there. Meghan Markle and Harry are making their way through. And you can see that like Meghan Markle and Beyonce are talking and chit-chatting. And just like, this is amazing because it's one bat meets another bat.
What a moment.
And then Harry is actually pitching to Bob Iger. He's like, oh, this is where it's going to tie into your financial independent thing. He's like, you know, she's looking to get it. She wants to do voiceover work.
So he literally was
hitting up Bob Iger for a job for his wife, which
at the Lion King premiere. Oh, I feel like that's a little distasteful. Like,
Harry.
Come on.
Well, when's the last time he had to go look for work? So he doesn't know how this works.
Well, that is so insane. Like, oh, here's her resume. Suits.
Here you go. She's a former BAP.
Yeah. Spider sorority, you know.
But it's so funny because, like, you can hear the dialogue with Harry, but your eyes just gravitate.
You can.
Your eyes are just gravitating. The focus is not on Meghan Markle and Beyonce, but that's all you look at.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
This is amazing. And also, when have you ever seen Beyonce be excited to meet anybody?
Right, right, right. She's like, all right, Oprah, guess I'll shake your hand again.
Fine. Oh, here comes Michelle Obama.
I know, right? Like, okay, Michelle, whatever. But Meghan is like, could you imagine the energy in just that like little circle that they're standing in? Ridiculous.
Like if I was like working as one of the cocktail waiters, for some reason that's in my dream fantasy. That's as high up as I made myself. I could have been a producer, fellow actor who was like, I was one of the canaries. I made myself. Are there canaries on Lion King? I was one of the hyenas. I was like the cocktail waiter. I just try to like get near, get some of that bath energy, you know?
And run on it for the rest of your life. You would need nothing else.
That's done.
Just have BAP energy. Be like,
ooh, BAP energy.
Energy. BAP energy.
BAP energy. BAP energy. BAP. That could, we'll just bad boys it that every 15 minutes. Well, Megan, run.
Yes.
Because also, like, Harry, here's what I've heard. He, for one, he's so far down the line of being king. It's just right. Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
Two, he never was really that into the whole, he's always just kind of trying to step out of the lines.
Yes.
He wasn't that into the whole entire royalty thing. She really was his princess in shiny armor because she rescued him from that world.
Like black and white, distasteful, old, dusty lifestyle.
She wants to see the world. She showed him a whole new world.
So.
She took him on a magic carpet ride.
We're just going to drop Vancouver. Disney references.
All sponsored by Disney. But like, also, like, think about this. The paparazzi was so terrible to her.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother was like died because of the paparazzi. So of course he's like trying to protect his family.
Right, exactly. And what better motivation to kind of do what you always wanted to do but a family?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think for me, it was also just kind of shining a light of just like, UK, you got some racism that y'all need to be dealing with.
Yes.
They try to be like, oh, we're beyond that. No. Apparently they had like a burial for the N-word or something. And they're like, we've moved on from this.
What does that look like? And was it with an ER?
And like, what was, you got a coffin for it? Right. And was the queen there?
Yeah.
And I bet Harry was like, fuck that. If he was there,
let's
I
go to
know.
Vancouver.
Oh, God. He's like, this is too much. They're like, no, baby, look, we're beyond this. See? Here's where it was
we're
buried.
We're literally.
Here's the graveside of the N-word in the UK.
Look, there's even fresh roses and a swan lake next to it so it can rest peacefully.
Terrible. It's at peace now.
It's at peace.
No, it's not. Speaking of the, here's something that the UK did do well. So this is really interesting. So the last Chick-fil-A in the UK finally shut its doors after protest.
Wow.
So yeah, and it was all through the work of this these different activists and LGBTQ plus folks who were just like, they got signatures. There have a Scottish, one of the Scottish, a member of the Scottish Parliament who's bisexual also was down for like the boycott of it
Good.
Too. And yeah, they just were closing slowly but surely, even though the president of Chick-fil-A a while back, the chief operating officer, Tim Tassopoulos.
Oh, he's so American.
Yeah. Tim Tassopoulos
from the Tassopoulos family.
I'm going to ruin your life.
One chicken sandwich at a time.
As he twirls his mustache. So they were like, oh, this is me. I'm Tim. I'm Tim Tassopoulos. Don't worry, UK. We're not gonna donate to any anti-LGBTQ organizations.
No.
And the UK saw through that. They're like, I see you twirling your mustache, Tim. Don't buy it. Because then they kept donating to like the Christian athletes and the Salvation Army.
Of course.
Also, side-eyeing you, Salvation Army. You're next.
We're coming for you.
LGBTQ is going to be stomping all over you.
That's amazing work. That's truly amazing work. And that's a whole institution.
Can we take a note, y'all, from this country that they're beating us in every way?
I know.
They bury the N-word. That they chased a princess away and did Brexit and a lot of other terrible things, too. But I swear, like, it's stop eating Chick-fil-A, y'all.
Please.
I'm making a PSA announcement. Stop.
There's Popeyes out there.
Thank you. And somebody right now is listening to this podcast, eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Put it down. Spit it out.
And Google Maps or whatever you use.
MapQuest.
Yahoo Maps.
Ask Jeeves.
No judgment. You use the technology that's right for you. And find a Popeyes. I had one of the Popeyes chicken sandwiches recently.
What do you think?
Have you had?
No. I like can't do it. I'm afraid I'm going to get addicted.
Oh.
No, I
yes,
can't.
Yes, you will.
I can't
I'd like
do
to
it.
Be like, oh, and I'm like, oh, I had three last week. Like,
I can't do it.
The Popeyes chicken sandwich is so fucking worth it. It is amazing. I don't usually eat pickles, but the pickles are on it.
Oh,
and I'm like,
I love
who
pickles.
Am I to like change this recipe? I had it as
Pai Pai. Give me extra pickles.
I had it as Pai Pai the chef and Sailor Man.
Not the Sailor Man.
The chef turned Sailor Man turned back into a
oh
chef.
Oh my gosh.
And I had it just as God deemed. Mm. And it was literally the Lord's work.
It was amazing. Handcrafted by Jesus himself. Ugh. Hand fried. I have to try it now.
Get it. Last thing, Megyn Kelly's talking about blackface again.
Megyn Kelly.
I saw her, I saw Charlize Theron play her in Bombshell. Amazing.
Really?
So good. I love anything that's scandalous and pulpy and just about the industry and the downfall of white men.
Yes. Yeah.
It's my Law and Order.
It's empowering. Yeah, for
like
one.
Some people love just like crime dramas. Yeah. I'd love scandal dramas.
Yes.
Give it to me. Oh, but Megyn Kelly was like, I guess, upset because Universal, which also owns NBC, she was upset because they were plotting Robert Downey Jr.'s, like, he was talking about when he was in blackface in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
And he was saying,
oh, yeah.
Different time, but his character was, he was saying that it was a satire of actors who feel like they can just do anything and everything and not aware of the repercussions of their actions.
It was a satirical film, yeah. Right.
So it's a bit of a reach because, like, yeah, we get, you maybe just say that. You don't have to, it was, right. Because we then have to visually see you do this.
And, exactly.
And then Megyn Kelly was like, let me pull up what she said. Oh, yeah. She goes, Robert Downey Jr. was blackface for Universal without regret because it sparked a necessary conversation. Universal goes, yay, Robert, hand clap emoji. Me, never worn blackface, but had one of those necessary convos. Rehouse standards have changed over time. NBC goes, F you, canceled. I also would like to remind you that she was canceled with a $69 million payout.
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to get canceled. I know.
Get canceled.
I'll put on white face.
I'm going to put some white face on and be like, Disney, I need to have this conversation.
So much baby powder on my face that I get canceled until
from
the next.
From a podcast.
I know. From a podcast.
Because they can't see you. They can just describe it.
I just want to describe how this baby powder sitting on my face. I look so white.
Ooh, look at all this power and privilege coming
I look
my way.
So white.
I'm getting all these jobs.
I'm going to shop at Dillard's.
Oh, yes. Well, there goes our Dillard's.
Damn it.
Now here's what's going to happen. Dillard's is now not going to sponsor us, but you get $70 million.
No, Dillard's, come back, please.
I'm trying to have a necessary conversation.
About the money.
Well, that happened.
Oh, Megan.
Last parting words from Megyn Kelly.
Dear Megan, there are no words for you.
I was going to say eat a dick, but I like dicks,
eat
so
dick.
That's
eat
too
dick.
Good.
Eat a motherfucking
eat,
dick.
Eat
rubber.
Ooh, and that tastes nasty.
Eat drink gasoline.
I was going to say and set yourself on fire. I've gone too far. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't.
Megyn Kelly, just do better.
Yeah.
Get better at life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, J-Keith.
Hey, Helen. I hear you have a true-false quiz you want me to finish.
I do. Here we begin. We host a trivia game show podcast on the Max Fun Network called Go Fact Yourself.
True.
Correct. The show is all about celebrity guests answering trivia questions about things J-Keith enjoys.
False. We sometimes don't talk about baseball or cats.
Thank God. It's questions about things they enjoy. Next, we bring on surprise experts every episode.
True.
Correct. Final question. It's just the two of us sitting alone with these guests.
False.
Correct. We have a live audience at the Angel City Brewery. See? You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month. And if you don't listen, you can go fact yourself.
True.
Bad Babs, Bad Babs. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when the princess you? Work in progress. Okay, so I wanted to talk about Virginia. So
yes, the South.
Go into the South.
Let's go on down the South. Pack your bags.
Pack
here
your
we
bags.
Go. Put
we're
your hat
going
on.
Going on a trip. Woo! We're here. So Virginia's been doing some things lately. Some really great. Some, Mainly kind of want to talk about, so essentially, so ML Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday recently happened.
Yes.
And which is like a really great day. A lot of people, what they do on that day is like go out there and do acts of service. Mm-hmm. And instead, a bunch of folks gathered to protest for their rights for the Second Amendment.
Wow.
Different choices for mm-hmm. different folks. And The Root recently did a thing that kind of just drew the parallels and connections. I think a lot of times the argument gets used that, you know, the Second Amendment, essentially what The Root does is shows the parallels that the Second Amendment is directly connected and rooted in slavery and yes. the oppression and murder of Black people. Mm-hmm. So that's a journey we're going to go on because Let's this rally took place in Virginia. I do want to highlight that Virginia is doing some really dope things. They actually just voted in their state Senate, I believe, to eliminate Jackson Lee Day and make it an make their other holiday Election Day.
That's great work. That's really amazing.
And also what's fucked up too, Jackson Lee Day, which celebrates Jackson Lee and Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
It's the Friday before Martin Luther King Day.
Oh my gosh. I never pieced that together.
Wild, right?
Oh my goodness.
Let's get rid of that.
Yeah.
So gross. That's one great thing that's happening in Virginia. And I think you'll just see voter turnout just continue to increase.
I hope
Virginia's
so.
Virginia's all blue right now. Mm,
that's good.
Blue governor, blue and their state legislatures.
Definitely was not always like that.
No. So this is new, and that's going to really help with voter turnout. They also just are the 30th state to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. Because there is no Equal Rights Amendment. Sorry, women, constitutionally, you're not equal. It's not in the Constitution. And it's weird because most countries mm-hmm. that are, I don't know how to say this, but like most countries in the industrialized world, that sounds weird, or, you know,
yeah,
a lot of countries that are moving the needle on progress mm-hmm. have some sort of like equal rights something
to checks and balances, like previous things that were set in place. But, you know, so not to tangent, no. but you know,
minority
what?
Corner tangents welcome.
But you know what's insane is I just learned that there are still, like, in the practice of Jewish religion, there are certain prayers and ceremonies and stuff that require a certain number of people to be in the room, is what the word says on the page.
Yeah,
there needs to be 14 people in the room, so when they count, they only count the men. Speaking of equal rights,
yes,
they need some equal rights up in their religion.
But separation of church and state, so I don't know if this will be able to help get into there and make it cleaned up.
But
the people in those rooms will have to be like, oh, is she a person? I'm going to count her.
It's insane.
Let's do this prayer. How about you want to do the prayer?
You're not a person.
Yes, you are in my eyes. So this, I don't want to go too much on a tangent of this, but it's really interesting, the Equal Rights Amendment and the battle for it. So back in the set, like, it's been 100 years plus trying to get this bill passed. Yeah. It happened after the suffragettes. They were like, let's pass this bill. It took all the way to the 70s for it to even reach mm-hmm. Congress. And when the bill was written, it said that it would need 38 states to ratify it. I think up to 35 states ratified it. They extended it till the 80s. It's right. past the deadline. And some states are trying to recant on that. It's weird that anybody would be like, no, I don't want to vote for it. The thing is that why some Republicans and conservatives, which that's who you know it is, mm-hmm. they feel like it's a slippery slope towards the women's right to choose.
Okay.
If you give them equal rights, they get to choose too much.
That is ridiculous.
They're like, it's a slippery slope. And there was a woman who I think in Illinois led the charge of how she would like scare everybody of like, no, we don't need women. We don't need or want equal rights because we might get drafted. And she even said in one of her speeches, I'll have to come back to this and talk about it as a separate corner. But she said she got permission from her husband to be there. And they were like, that's funny. It was like a cocktail joke.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But she helped destroy that law. But Virginia, guns, MLK,
yes.
the NRA. Let's go on a journey. So, remind you also, white supremacists killed Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're already seeing that connection. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, this past Monday, it was in Richmond, Virginia. There was a rally that was to oppose gun control, which was being advanced in the General Assembly in Virginia. So, again, this is a great reason to vote. Like, mm-hmm. all politics is local. Virginia is doing such amazing stuff between the ERA, the Election Day, and then this, passing this, you know, guns legislation bill,
mm-hmm.
doing some dope shit. Vote, vote, vote all the time. Every time there's election, vote. All politics is local. So Democratic Governor Ralph Northam, so there was a big rally that happened,
yeah,
and they were protesting this, which is their right to assemble. But these guys, they like guns, and they were bringing their guns there.
Oh my
goodness. There was a lot of threats and for potential violence.
How
and so,
scary.
Yeah, the governor had to order a state of emergency to ban guns at the Capitol Square. So that's what's setting this off.
That's
in Virginia.
So scary, yeah.
Being a battleground. And Virginia has a very interesting history with the second right, with the Second Amendment. So, and America's obsession with guns essentially is their fear of black folks and progress.
Mm-hmm.
So you also might have seen why Black Panther has been trending on Twitter recently. Mm-hmm. If you are a part of the Twitterati and you watch it, that's what Oprah calls it.
What's the Twitterati?
She's like, you know, the Twitterati gonna come after me.
I have not heard of that hashtag.
Okay. No. Yeah. Well, it has been.
Wow.
So why? So before, so back in the days, back in like the slave ass days, yeah, before the American Revolution, slaveholding states started creating militias to patrol slaves and prevent revolts, not to just protect like against outside forces. No. Militias have roots in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they were essentially afraid, because at that time, you know, there were so many black folks that they were even in some states outnumbering the amount of white people there.
Right.
So it's actually required for white men 18 to 60 in Virginia to register and serve on slave patrols.
Wow.
Yeah. So they could search and examine, I'm doing air quotes, search and examine all Negro houses for offensive weapons and ammunition.
Because
they were like, you're not going to have any guns. So this is why militias were ready to go by the time the American Revolution happened, because they're like, oh, we already got these. Oh, we got guns and teams of people that know how to, you know, do shit. So that's its roots.
Yeah.
So then James Madison was like, you know, so then American Revolution happens and we're trying to like write a constitution. And James Madison's like, oh, I got a constitution. I wrote one. And he's a Federalist and he was in Virginia and he wasn't not in favor of any of the amendments, a.k.a. the Bill of Rights. He was like, yeah, no, this is fine. My constitution is good.
Yeah.
We don't need any of those. But then when you get to June of 14th, numbers are hard. By June 14th, 1788, his constitution was already ratified out by 18 of the 13 colonies, including Virginia, but you need ratification from 9.
Yeah.
Look at this history lesson.
Such a history
lesson. Like Schoolhouse Rock.
It's like Hamilton.
I like that better. You made me cooler. Once again, I'm the cocktail waiter. It's like training at Burger King. So his frenemy, nemesis slash anti-federalist, it was Virginia Governor Patrick Henry. He was like, I don't like this constitution. It's, you know, it needs to protect the rights and freedoms of slaveholding racists in this state.
Oh, I mean,
he
my
didn't
goodness.
Say that, but that's yeah, the subtext that's, of what his mission
no,
was.
No, that's what he said verbatim.
That is, yeah.
Literally.
So you've got, you know, Patrick Henry and also George Mason were just terrified of slave revolts. And it also makes you think it's like, shit, if you were that terrified of this thing happening,
yeah,
like maybe you don't need to do it anymore. It's just, it's like working in Jurassic Park and trying to keep all the dinos. You're like, no,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think I should be doing this.
Maybe
something's
I shouldn't.
Wrong.
Right.
Like if something is so much work, like the universe believes in like ease.
Exactly.
This ain't right. So in Eastern Virginia, enslaved Africans outnumbered free whites, so they were terrified. So the constitution that James Madison had written, it was already like, you know, yes, you can have an army. It was already like saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then these asshats needed an amendment that allowed them to put down any armed or insurrection of slaves to stop any northern states from doing the right thing and freeing black folks. So essentially what they were afraid of, because the way that it was originally written, is essentially it said, Madison's constitution said, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A well-armed and well-regulated militia being the best security of a free country, but no person religiously scrupulous of bearing arms shall be compelled to render military service in person. So essentially, Henry didn't like the part that it said country.
Right.
Because they're essentially afraid that if there's a slave revolt, they can't get Congress to come in and do anything about it because they wouldn't legally be able to have a militia. Mm-hmm. And they're also essentially afraid that, like, if black folks would have the right to, like, have weapons or participate in an army, that it just was a slippery slope to them being free.
Right, right.
So similar, like, it feels like it's a constant, like, the people on the wrong side of history are always, like, that slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Like, women become equal.
Right.
Slippery slope. Mm-hmm.
They black get people joining armies and getting guns. Slippery slope. I don't know if you want to go down that road.
So the final result became the Second Amendment's actually the shortest of all the amendments.
Yeah.
It's really brief and really vague. So it just got boiled down to a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So that's what they agreed upon. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with defending, because there's a lot of the things that are like, oh, you know, to go up against a tyrannical government has nothing to do with that. It was to be able to keep and oppress their slaves.
Exactly.
And also, too, it's like, it's also dumb, too, because it's like, let's say the government was tyrannical.
Right.
What I'm going to do? They got bombs and all this kind of shit and, like, nuclear weapons. Like, weaponry's gotten so far, like, we shit out of luck.
Exactly. So it's literally just a justification to, like, keep things as they were.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
No, we still want to have our own little militia group to keep people in check. Just in case. Just you in never case. Know.
Just in case. So then moving forward. So in the civil rights, the Civil War.
Mm.
So there were fears in the South about what would happen if newly freed black people were to arm themselves.
That I understand a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
Fair.
I understand.
It's also a situation that you created.
I can just imagine just being like, man, you're free. And here are also some guns. And it just being dead silent and just the slave just being like, okay. Shoot you in the head. And then just like, well, that felt good. Let me go about my life now.
Yeah, alternate history. So they were terrified. Get it. But you created this.
Exactly.
And because
you dug yourself into that hole, honestly.
So Mississippi and South Carolina were outnumbered by black folks. So enter in terrorist organizations began. So this is after the Civil War, Reconstruction area. Terrorist organizations began murdering and disarming black folks by like tens of thousands, which that's a lot of people.
So many.
Citizens. And yeah, so it's insane just the amount. So then we get to what Congress has to create is the Third Enforcement Act. Because there just was chaos erupting. And so the president, whoever he was, it must have been
Roosevelt. That was a guess.
Who is after the drunk? Wasn't it Grant?
Jefferson?
Ulysses S. Grant. We'll fact check this later. This is not a quiz on presidents.
It was Abraham Lincoln.
No, he dead. It's so funny. We just laughed at him being dead. Thanks, Abe. So the president for the first time ever had to suspend habeas corpus because of all the shit that these white terrorist organizations were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially habeas corpus, preventing groups from depriving. So the law also was going to prevent groups from depriving citizens of their constitutional rights. So this is the first time in the U.S. history that the president ever had to do any of this. And it was officially called an act to enforce the provisions of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and for other purposes. But this law is actually commonly known as the Ku Klux Klan Act. Because here's what happened. On April 13th of 1873, former Confederate soldiers, disgruntled, and members of the Ku Klux Klan and White League attacked a group of armed black men, as was their right.
Right.
They were armed and they were gathering around the courthouse in Colfax, Louisiana, probably just like trying to get some rights and to protect themselves. And it became the bloodiest single instance of racial carnage in the Reconstruction era.
Ooh.
Yeah, they started off. They fired a fucking cannon at them. Like, what? Who's just rolling up the cannon?
I know. We got some people over here. Get the cannon. Get the cannon.
And then after the cannon just started shooting at them.
So eerie. Oh, my goodness.
Just slaughter anyone with black skin. And then we don't even know what the final death toll is. Found a bunch of bodies in the river, but it's estimated 105 to 150. And this is just one of the many, many massacres that has happened.
Right.
As the Watchmen has just shown us the Tulsa massacre.
Yes.
Which was oftentimes, up until recently, was called the Tulsa Race Riots. Ugh. It was a massacre. Right. There was no, we weren't, you know, rioting.
There wasn't anything. It was just one-sided massacre.
Yep. White people with guns went in and murdered a bunch of black people, which they've done not only to black people in this country, but also to Mexican-Americans in Texas.
Yes.
The Texas Rangers did that. So what ended up happening was 9 of the white defendants were tried and convicted under the Ku Klux Klan Act. Phew, glad that exists.
Yes.
Because the act came to be used because essentially the lynch mob was trying to deprive black folks of the rights to assemble and bear arms. We're like, you can't do this. They weren't doing anything wrong. You're not judge, jury, and executioner. But then the convictions were appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. In the case, the United States versus Cruikshank. Fucking Cruikshank.
Cruikshank. God damn it.
Oh, fuck you, Cruikshank. So
I'm going to say that every time I hit my toe.
Cruikshank. That's a good one. Oh, yeah. Oh, that is true. So the white citizens targeted black victims. So the court had decided originally, they were like, yep, white citizens targeted black victims, denied them their rights because of their race. But the Supreme Court got involved, overturned it, and they said, the right to bear arms is not, I'm going to twirl a mustache. The right to bear arms is not granted by the Constitution. Neither is it in any manner dependent upon the instrument for its existence. The Second Amendment means no more than it shall not be infringed by Congress and has no other effect than to restrict the powers of the national government. So the Supreme Court essentially frees a bunch of white folks who murdered a bunch of black U.S. citizens.
Okay. Good for the Supreme Court.
What?
Good for the Supreme Court.
No, what they did was bad.
What they did was bad?
Yeah. So it was a little confusing. So the original court had been like, oh, you all were terrible. What you did, you denied. What you did was illegal.
Oh, the original court.
And then the Supreme Court overturned it. It was essentially like, it's not Congress's, because Congress had passed the Ku Klux Klan Act.
Okay.
And
which kept them in check.
Which kept them in check. And then the Supreme Court was like, you're not allowed to do that, which is weird. Because they were saying that the Ku Klux Klan Act was infringing upon the rights for these white people to infringe upon the rights of these black people.
Okay, yes.
Essentially, what they did was racist.
Yes, absolutely. I got them flipped.
In the guise of holding up the Constitution.
Yes. So the Supreme Court came in with big boots saying, you're not going to make any type of progress.
Which is why it's so important, again, the power of voting,
yes,
now that we have it, because we can't just trust that the Supreme Court's going to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Because they have their own bias of how they're interpreting the Constitution for their own personal... They're not supposed to, but they do.
They definitely do.
Civil rights era, we have Stokely Carmichael, activist. Y'all know him. Mm-hmm. He was a student of the Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And in 1965, it was a predominantly 80% black county, but only one of the county's 12,000 registered voters was black. And this is an area known for its lynchings. Many residents armed themselves. It's wild that only one person could vote then, right?
Yeah.
But then in 1966... with the work of Stokely Carmichael in Lowndes County, the registered voters were then majority black. So again, getting out there, registering people to vote, we should still be doing these things.
Absolutely.
So Carmichael became the president of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, took over for John Lewis. So he was at the March Against Fear in 1966, and their activist James Meredith was shot and killed by a sniper.
Ooh.
And then Carmichael had voted to continue doing the march. And there at the march, he had given, and Martin Luther King Jr. was there too, October 29th, 1966, and he gave his Black Power speech, which recalls what had happened in Lowndes County in March 2nd of 1967. So he gives this big speech Strictly Carmichael. And which we'll link. I'm not going to read it. Mm-hmm. And so a bunch of armed black men stormed California's state capitol carrying rifles and shotguns. And this scared California white folks, right?
Yes, for sure.
Essentially, this is the group, the Black Panthers, because they essentially were getting gunned down and killed by the police and were not being protected. And lawmakers quickly formed and passed the Mulford Act, which was signed by Governor Ronald Reagan.
Ooh. Fuck that guy. Fuck Reagan. Even today.
Even today. Even Woo. Today. Ha! Fuck you. So this became the basis for a lot of bias from a lot of the stuff that the NRA was doing. The NRA essentially helped to get this bill passed quickly because mm-hmm. they were afraid that the government as a whole, if they saw black people with guns, they'd be like, nobody gets any guns.
Yeah, right.
Which I think is fair. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like that idea. Push it to this extreme and then nobody gets these and...
Then they're gone. Yeah.
Then they're gone. So this is bringing it back to MLK Day. Mm-hmm. Again, seeing all the stuff that, you know, had happened. And this is why... So, Stokely Carmichael had, been in contact with the Black Panther activists before they had stormed the California State Capitol. So his speech is part of, I think, what had influenced what they were doing.
Right.
And so that's why you maybe have been seeing Black Panther, not the movie, but hashtag Black Panther on recently.
Yeah.
In response to this. So, yeah, this is just bringing it back to today. This happened, you know, Richmond... Stokely Carmichael saw a lot of, you know, gun violence. You know, James Meredith was shot. He was there in the Freedom Rides, which were bombed. John Lewis, he saw his get his head bashed in. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just made me think that also. So again, it's just looking at the Second Amendment has these racist-ass roots.
Yes, absolutely.
It does. I think, like, who's been the most affected? Like, black people just continuously are harmed by the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. Remember when Philando Castile was shot and killed by a police officer?
Yeah.
He had a gun, it was registered, all the right rules, and he was shot and killed. Mm-hmm. And the NRA didn't have his back, mm-hmm. and they should have. Mm-hmm. But that's just because these rules are not meant for black folks. So that's the story. Also, sidebar, I don't know if you know this, but MLK Jr.'s mother was also shot and killed by a gun.
Coretta?
No, that's his wife.
That is his
wife. Not marry his wife. And wouldn't that be crazy if like his...
What is his mother's name? Did you ever watch the VHS tape, My Friend Martin?
No, Alberta King.
Alberta. I miss those names.
Well, never too late to bring him back. Well, she was killed by... There's a very misleading article that was like, the forgotten assassination of MLK's mother, Alberta King, in 1974. I'm like, click. Mm. And what happened was it was actually just a ill young black man who came home from the war and was like, God told me to do this. And it was in a church and she was playing the organ. Aww. Very tragic. Very tragic. That's poor King family.
Extremely tragic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, how we need to take care of our veterans when they come back from these senseless wars.
Yes, yes.
So, there it is. Ooh, and I have an advertisement for Aladdin on Disney Plus. Click.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
And so I have to write material that makes sense and makes people laugh. I also have to think about what I'm saying to people.
If I kick your ass, I'll make you famous.
The fight to get LGBTQ representation in the show.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
I really just became a political speechwriter by accident,
realizing that I have accidentally pulled my pants down.
Listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
It's like if the guinea pig was complicit in helping the scientist.
Baps, 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 baps. Bap, baps, bap, baps.
Bap, baps.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when the princess you baps, baps,
baps, baps?
Run, Meghan Markle, get out of there.
Run,
girl, run.
Keep up.
In that scenario, okay, ooh, let's play this. a new game. Beyonce, Kelly, or Michelle, and what you have to do, it's sort of like marry, fuck, kill. And instead you decide who's the Beyonce, who's the Michelle, and who's the Kelly. So
who's in it? Okay.
You've got Michelle Obama, Meghan Markle, and Beyonce.
Oh my gosh, why would you do that? Beyonce has to be Beyonce. Right?
Oh my God. You know what that means? I think Michelle is Michelle.
No! Michelle is Michelle.
I'm dead. It's true.
Damn it.
It checks out. And Meghan Markle it really is does. The Kelly.
It's Kelly.
Right.
It makes sense.
That totally is what happens. Oh, God. Damn. But sorry, see, Michelle. That's what happens. You have different people around you. Yeah. You become different status. So
ooh, Michelle, I'm sorry.
Hurt to say. Love but you. We had to. Okay. Now that we just lost all the... We lost Michelle Obama.
We lost Michelle Obama. No.
But you know who's excited about it? Michelle. Mm-hmm. Other Michelle.
Ah, because she's she gets Michelle status. She's gotten other Michelle status.
Yeah, she gets Michelle Obama. Gosh. Michelle's like, damn it, I'm Michelle.
All those free lunches I gave you.
Oh, damn.
That's
it.
What you do to me.
Oh, and look at those dance moves, Michelle Obama. That's what it was. Oh, where are we? What are we doing?
What is going on? We are in
Farming Corner.
Farming Corner.
Aren't you taking us? You're taking us on a journey.
I'm taking you on a journey.
Here we go.
I figured it was only organic. Get it? Ooh. Get it? Organic.
Toy the soil.
To talk about farming, because you were mentioning Virginia, and Virginia is in the South, which is prone to a lot of farming because of all the land around it, which means that it probably has a ton of organic, sustainable markets, food systems, and stuff like that. But for who is the big question? Ooh. What's going on there? Is that accessible to everybody? It's really not.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. It's not.
Don't mean to spoil the film for you. Ooh. Don't call me Disney, but it's not.
But then it's fun because you get to see, like, you know, in Moulin Rouge, we already know Satine dies.
Yes.
Because he's like, she did.
Yeah.
But now we can see the journey of, like, how it's not for everybody.
What's going on. Which is, it's such an insane concept to me. It's kind of so backwards because it's like the opposite of cyclical, because Black people are of the land.
Yeah.
Right?
Hands up.
And so through all of the institutional and systemic oppression that occurred over so many years that you just touched upon,
hundreds of years, it has
become the literal opposite. Mm. Where in, you'll oftentimes see in especially cities, like even in New York and where I grew up in Miami, that the communities that have the highest Black populations are food deserts.
Yeah.
There is no access at all to food that is from the land, from the earth, organic, traveled less, you know. If anything, the most access you have in those communities is just to
processed like foods.
Yeah, corner stores, a Walmart.
Yeah.
Stores and places that don't necessarily give you an opportunity to like
eating.
Yeah, to live healthy, which is honestly such it feeds directly into like health digressions in Black communities. Mm-hmm. And it's just sad because it's the opposite of progression in that realm.
Yeah. I saw something once too, I think we've talked about in the podcast of, yeah, you're totally right about the food desert, especially in urban areas. And then once again, you had urban flight, which affected, you know, all these Black and brown communities who were living in the cities, and they took everything with them, all the resources and the pools and everything. And then, like you were saying, like, so again, something like crazy, like I think like 75% of Americans are, you know, overweight or obese. And the numbers are even higher for folks in like Black and brown communities because it's access to food.
Right.
And then again, if you think about that, like food is the thing that fuels you. For you to be successful in your day and your life and have a long, healthy life expectancy.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, even branch, like every branch of the health food tree or like living, say like healthy living and healthy lifestyles is a big tree. Every branch of that, even from like knowledge, right? So even say you become aware of your situation and you're like, I am such a product of this like institutionalized system where I only have access to certain things.
Yeah.
where are you going to read up about what foods to actually eat? Like, do you have a health coach that you can just hire that's $350 an hour? No.
Probably not. No, don't think you have those.
Exactly. So it just furthers the inaccessibility. But what the positive thing about this is that there are a lot of people becoming really aware of it and are coming up with movements and organizations to bring farming and healthy living back into the Black community.
Yeah.
So it all started because I found out that there's a co-op opening in Bed-Stuy that is specifically giving all of their funds, support, resources to help Black farmers and only Black farmers. And that is the thing that we need.
Yeah.
Right? You need a whole reboot. You need resources funneling into your like businesses and farms because you can't really, you don't have it.
What's so interesting too about this too, it's like you think about all the hundreds of years that Black folks were toiling those soils. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right? I'm new to farming. toiling the soil.
Yeah.
Making the fruits grow.
Yeah. plowing
the donkey.
A hose.
A hoe. Yeah, I got your hoe. I like that part of farming.
Sprinklers.
Hoeing it up.
I like wearing overalls.
And nothing underneath. But you know what? There's a TV show that is essentially about Black farmers in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Queen Sugar.
Ooh, I remember that.
Ava DuVernay is one of the producers of it. All female of color. I think it's all female directors, and I think they're all women of color.
Amazing.
On the series. And it's essentially like, it's interesting too, because it's something I never really thought about. But yeah, it's like, you know, first of all, we're never getting the 40 acres and a mule to begin with.
Exactly.
And if you think about that, what that would have meant for, again, 40 acres and a mule, you're going to be able to take care of you have land.
Right.
And you have the ability to take care of that land.
And it would have kickstarted a whole generation to learn about that stuff.
Yes. And when you talk about the economic wealth gap, that it just keeps increasing, it's because, again, certain communities, white folks, who are able to piggyback off of what their families had already done and already created.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just really interesting, too, because I never really thought about that. And you think like, oh, yeah, like, it makes sense, like, they were working these lands and then they didn't have these lands and they got, and what happens sometimes is like, especially in the show, there's a plot point where their dad had this land and then he dies and then they have it and they were going to sell it. And there's this other like company that's coming in to try to like buy all these Black farmers' land.
Yeah.
And that land, it turns out that their dad owns used to be the same land that their ancestors were slaves on.
Wow.
Yeah. And you start to see just a lot of the fucked up stuff that ends up happening of why there are so few Black farmers, because a lot of really shady business deals, usually led by like white folks, to take that land back. And I think in one of the seasons right now, they're trying to build a prison on their land, which that's a whole entire other conversation about the industrial complex.
Yes.
Which is that insane, this land that used to be have slaves on it,
right,
was then owned by Black people, and then these white people are then took it through these malicious political crazy games that they like to play, and then they're going to try to build a prison on it. So
that is such a layered cake.
Yeah.
Very rich cake at that.
I mean, it don't taste good.
And no.
That's like a good old shit
institutionalist
cake. That's what Megyn Kelly should eat. A shit cake. Got it. An hour later.
Imagine how empowering it would be to kickstart and initiate like Black farming, because it would be so enriching to like go back to that land in a different way, you know, and kind of like, I wouldn't even want to say rewrite, but kind of fill it with like love and passion for farming and like healthy eating.
Yeah.
Right. So I came across this article about this farm called Soul Fire Farm.
Ugh, love it already.
Yeah. That is in Albany, New York.
Oh,
literally right around the corner.
Right up the corner. The street.
Spelled with a K.
I like that.
And their whole mission is to teach Black people and people of color about farming and all of that stuff. And I just, like, I appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
I really do. It was started by a woman who felt extremely displaced in that area.
Oh, I bet.
which kind of reminded me of my college days because I went to PWI, Allegheny College, shout out. that was a very sarcastic shout out if you couldn't hear it in my tone. In straight up Northwest Pennsylvania. So I was like a speck on a white wall. Oof. And they had a very strong environmental studies program. Mm. So that meant a lot of white people wearing hiking boots and doing farming, growing things, aquaponics, fish poop makes my vegetables. And so I did a lot of reflecting in those years and have thought about how kind of crazy it is that this came from us.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's now completely reinvented. And what I like to call it is gentrifarming. Like
gentrifarming.
You gentrifarmed the fuck out of the earth.
And that we almost like forgot. Like again, we've been doing this.
Exactly.
We've been doing this. We were doing this way back and before Wakanda was a Wakanda. Right. You know?
Exactly.
And then came over here and kept doing it and for now free.
Right. And now it's like stylish to do it. Now people do things like woofing.
Have you heard of woofing? I don't know what that is, but it makes me angry.
Woofing is like working on a farm just to stay in a certain area. So a lot of my white friends in college, would woof. So they'd be like, man, like I really want to go to Mexico, like so bad. I think I'm going to woof. So you go on a farm and you work there and then they let you stay there basically. And it's an interesting concept in a lot of ways, like in a lot of ways, it's like positive.
Oh, that's cool. That's cute.
Right. But it's also like you kind of stay there for a little bit and you get the experience of like a different culture, but also like you
just got privileges. I just smell as a privilege because I just think about like there's, you know, families who come from, you know, or people come from Central and South America who come here to work on farms to send money back to their families. And it's just such a, I just don't even have the words for it. It's a weird concept. There's something that's weird about it.
Because it's extremely privileged in a way that it creates a power dynamic of kind of like, what if you go to a family and that's kind of that's their main resource. You're there for a very short period of time and you help them and then you're gone. And then they're kind of back to bare bones. And so just even, so moving to the...
And do they get paid? I feel like they should not get paid.
They do get paid, I think.
I could kind of see it, like, if it's a thing that, I don't know, maybe it's like you have, I'm brainstorming.
What are you about to
brainstorms,
say?
But maybe, like, all white people should have to, like, for a period of time, go work for free.
Maybe they should.
In a farm, and they can kind of experience.
Let me tell you something. I believe in very modern practices of reparations.
And I think that maybe could be one of them, sort of like how in Israel everyone has to like participate in the military for 2 years and like maybe you gotta go work on a farm to pay it back for a bit and then we can change some things that are happening in capitalism. Yes,
there's literally no scale of reparations that is unacceptable in my mind.
So we can
I think
put
if
it on
I'm
the
in
table.
A really long line in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And I don't feel like waiting.
You should be able to go ahead.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
May I skip you because reparations?
Hands down. They should have like a reparations
People
card.
Say it's, yes. I have literally done it.
It's like...
I got really? Halfway... Yeah, I was in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Did you say reparations?
Yes. I
love you.
I was in the longest line ever getting into a bar and in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which is majority white.
Majority white
and
now.
Yes, now in 2020.
Yeah.
And I just tapped the person in front of me on the shoulder and I said, hey, listen, I just really believe in reparations and I believe that my day has been more stressful just because
being
a black woman trying to navigate New York City and I'm just a little tired, don't feel like being on my feet. May I skip? Of course, the white woman in Williamsburg who probably got like a degree at Williams College and has a basic understanding of oppression and institutionalized racism is going to say what? Of course. Oh my God.
Guilty as hell.
Express track the line. I got a fast pass.
I'm not mad at that. It does remind me of in The Watchmen, they had, what is it? Robert Redford was the president in The Watchmen. It was Redforations.
Redforations, yes.
Wasn't the real name of it. It's sort of like when they call healthcare Obamacare.
Yeah,
The Affordable Care Act is actually the Affordable Care Act. It's not Obamacare.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just shortchanged change it to try to get his name on it to mm-hmm. try to, and I feel like that's what happened with Red Furations. Yeah. This sort of like diss at this, you know, thing.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like there should still be conversations that are happening around it. I hands down, there's just like, you can't even put a monetary value of just, I mean, you can, people have done the calculations mm-hmm. of what it would maybe look like.
Yeah.
But I think there's just, I think people don't fully understand just what a leg up you have when, you know, pretty much everybody in your family has owned their property mm-hmm. or something like that.
Right.
Or was able to get a loan to start mm-hmm. a business. There's just yeah. so many things, and wasn't murdered and lynched.
Right. Exactly.
Or like when, again, going back exactly. to Tulsa and the Watchmen, of like, you have a community that yeah. you've set up
right.
from nothing mm-hmm. after being kidnapped from your homes right. for, you know, centuries mm-hmm. and making it work by the right way. And then everyone gets murdered.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, well, and then just kind of like moving this to a larger scale, it's just the general movement of like moving back to organic and healthy things.
Yeah, true.
Right. And so it's fascinating because it creates, it's, there's kind of a power dynamic that exists, right? So if gentrifying farming is a subset of gentrification, there's a larger thing that exists, right, on a larger scale, which I'm sure like everybody's very aware of, which even, so there's a Whole Foods, right?
Yeah. Totally, in Harlem. Here in Harlem, yeah.
And Whole Foods is, exactly. And Whole Foods is what? Supposed to be a holistic way to shop, right? Like right. this food is fresh. You're going to get the healthiest of every version of thing. You want rice? We have cauliflower rice. You want whole grain, wild rice, purple rice from the root? We got it. We got,
you want bananas that are still growing on a tree right now? We got it.
You want 95% lean beef? We got it.
You need honey? We got bees making it right here. Organic bees. And because it's interesting, because like I come from California, and I grew up in the suburbs, so I didn't realize there were things such as food deserts. But mm-hmm. I also grew up in like Solano County, which is one of the most diverse counties in the United States as a whole.
Wow. Yeah.
So I didn't really understand a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, everybody has food. You know, it doesn't matter the race. You know,
everybody has food.
Everybody has food.
Everybody has food. Food fighting.
And it was healthy and delicious. So like hamburger helper. But oh yeah, but there being a Whole Foods here, it's just, and I live really close to it. Mm. It's just, it's insane how
I'm literally gonna go on
expensive like it is. I mean, too. I usually actually go to Fairway, which is Ooh. Possibly they're going bankrupt. I don't know how. Like, there's not that many grocery stores here in the fucking yeah. city of New York.
There
how.
Is not. There literally, it's only Trader Joe's and Whole Foods.
It's disappointing and sad. I'm like, I don't. Yeah. So. Yeah, so on the one end, and like, I heard the head of Whole Foods talk on some, you know, Live Your Dreams podcast that I used to like listen to a lot. Mm. And, he, you know, his mission is trying to get into these food deserts, into these communities that don't normally have access to healthy food,
right.
which I think is really great, but also the price of it. And he said, like, from him, he's like, no, we have, like, you know, we're working to get those prices down. I'm like, not enough.
Right.
And then you can scan if you have Amazon Prime, which you know I do because I have all of the
Oh my
services.
Gosh, yeah.
You get some discounts when you scan your Amazon
yes,
Prime thing.
Yes, they have
barely. I scan that thing all the time.
Oh, really?
And I'll be like, oh, I wonder what I got. And it's like 55 cents.
I have Amazon Prime and I have not been scanning.
Oh, you're paying all of that?
I need to scan.
You could be getting 50 cents off. 56
cents.
I also find too, at least in the one in Harlem, it's all Black folks who are working there.
Yes.
Which are like, yay jobs, but also just like, there's just a little hint of
that dynamic.
The dynamic. There's the yeah. dynamic. And I'm not saying necessarily it's slavery because they are still getting paid. And
right.
I think Whole Foods, you know, does, I think they get benefits. It's one of the better mm-hmm. sort of retail jobs that you're going to have.
Right.
But you're right. It's sort of like the underlyings of that same dynamic is sort of still there.
And exactly.
Look around there and it's all Black people who are working.
Right. And it's like kind of, and it speaks, it runs a parallel course of like the same type of dynamic, right, that we had however many years ago.
Yep.
It's still in conversation with that like complexity.
Yeah.
And so I think I just want to like give a huge big ups to like the whole movement that's happening right now, from food to hairstyle stuff, right? Yeah. Like hair stuff is moving way back to organic stuff. And that's another aspect of this conversation that I'm like so pumped about because it's been going on for years.
And it's easier to find black products in other stores. Oh
my goodness. Well,
and the chemicals, like you're saying, like, well, what is it? Shea Moisture?
Shea Moisture is so expensive. It's so expensive.
But at least
I still haven't bought a bottle. I'm like,
really?
Because I pick it up.
I got three.
No, I pick it up and I'm like,
$60 when I go.
Yeah. I pick it up. It's like a tiny little moisturizer. And I'm like, hey, this is going to be the day. I'm gonna do it, Emerald. Just buy it. It's you. Self care. It's like $21.99.
I'll show you the ones that I use because, I get the same effects that I've always used to have with the heavier chemically products. And my hair feels light and there's good quality in it. And my hair smells like a tropical vacation because there's coconut in it.
Oh my! I'm using a coconut product right now too, and let me tell you something.
Yeah.
My favorite part of my morning is when, because I like shower and wet my hair and I comb it through with my moisturizer. I use Cantu coconut something. It's like a new product that they have, and I put it in my hair, and then I walk down the train platform, and you can sense that people are like, oh my God, what is that smell?
Where am I?
Your hair smells so good. It was even to the point that this man stopped me and was like, it was not in a creepy way.
Okay.
He was like, miss, I have to tell you, your hair smells so good. Oh my God. And I was like, thanks.
It's like not even like what I like. It's like not like a pickup line of like, ooh, are you a library card? Because I'm going to read you all night. Or like, are you a library book? Because I'm going to read you.
No.
It's just true. It's like legit. Your hair smells
good. Yeah, like just a genuine, like I just really had to tell you that your hair smells good.
Smells good.
And so I think that just in conversation with the hair movement, moving back to organics and food and healthy lifestyles, I feel like it's like a progression that's built on self-awareness and self-understanding and not a progression that's like, we're upset. We want to like move up. And like that stuff's so important too. Like that's how you get rid of Chick-fil-A's. That's how you like fight people in Virginia. But this is like so powerful because it's coming from within. It's like that self-awareness of like, man, like this is not right what was done to us. Like this is the only access that I have to things. I need to rise up, think about what's around me, think about how oppression has unfolded in such a way that I only have access to certain things, and change the conversation that I have with myself and food. Yeah. And like completely change how I eat things, because how I ate things was based on my environment and my mom didn't have anything else available to her, right? And then same thing with kind of like hair and looks.
Mm-hmm.
Only 8 years ago, everybody had a perm. Everybody had straight hair. Everybody was going for that European
me too,
look.
Me too.
You know?
Yes. And, so true. And I would process my hair and stuff like that. Exactly. And I'm like, fuck that mess.
No, yeah. And now people are like, curls are popping. I'm using honey and mayo and eggs.
Going back to basics. You made me think again, and I think that's why we need to just keep having, because sometimes you're like, oh, reparations are like, but what would that look like? What would that be? And I'm always like, why do I, for one, have to like come up with all the solutions myself? Right. Can we come to the table and have a conversation?
Exactly.
It made me think like maybe like part of reparations is that like, first of all, I think it comes down to like, you know, basic healthy foods is like human right.
Yeah.
And we also have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think especially for black folks, we should like, there should be like two things. It's like automatic like housing of some sort.
Yes.
Or at least like a like some sort of like housing subsidy or stipend or something.
Right.
And then even like a food one, like for quality food.
Yes.
To like that, oh, you can only use this to like a quality food market or space.
And something,
or being part of a co-op or something.
Exactly. And something sustainable. And I mean, there are movements, like it's slow, it's a slow burn, but there are movements happening where like at a certain point in time, WIC did not cover like healthy foods. Like it was just like, and you can get this cereal, I guess. But also hot chips. Like, no.
Hot chips are good. So you're like, okay, of course I'm going to get the hot chips.
Yeah. But now there's like access. Now I'm seeing more and more stores accepting WIC and food stamps. And when I was growing up, like my mom was on all that stuff. Like she utilized all those resources, and it would be like, and then the only store that takes it is this store. So it's like Save-A-Lot. We live next to a Save-A-Lot.
That's where I'm going.
So like, that's where we're going to go. And it's like, okay, what cereal can we get? And it's like, it's like Fruit Spins instead of Fruit Loops. And you know what I mean? Like, that's the access that they gave us. Yeah. But now I'm seeing more and more. So it's like, I'm pretty sure Whole Foods takes EBT. Which is amazing. But like, who knows exactly how much you can get from there, because you're only allotted.
Like, you should get a discount with your EBT.
Right. Yeah. But you know, but what's amazing about that movement is that there's somebody in like the government offices that control food stamps that said, hey, this needs to expand just beyond the stores that are in these neighborhoods. Yeah. And this needs to get into the stores that are providing really healthy foods. But like, to wait on the government is a mission. Impossible.
Absolutely. And I bet you it probably is something that started local. Like, again, all politics is local and then grows up from there. Exactly. And also, again, why it's so important for us to have diversity of leadership in every facet, because maybe someone was just, that's not their world. They're not thinking about that. Yeah. So we need people in there that can be like, hey, pay attention to this.
And also, like, speaking on local politics, like grassroots community organizations, like your community gardens that just like,
there's some like, here in Harlem, and I'm like, I love it. See, when they're working with like youth, and I'm like, this is amazing.
And you want them to see like Black, older Black people doing that same work, so they know that it's like, oh my God, you're taking time out of your day to do this. It must be important.
It's important.
Like,
okay.
I should learn this. It is fun.
Look, everybody, an old Black man is growing tomatoes. Let's gather around and watch.
Exactly. I literally hate tomatoes.
Oh, look, everybody, an old Black man is growing Starburst. Wrong way.
Look, everybody, he's growing fruit of the loom. I mean, fruit. Underwear.
Fruit roll up.
He's growing Capri Suns. We're giving all these processed food examples.
Well, that's how brainwashed we are. He's growing guavas.
That's good.
In New York City, Harlem. He got that magic touch. He's also a magical Negro.
But yeah, I have a new appreciation and new light for it, also because I have a best friend who's really passionate about it, and she works in a preschool in California, actually.
Okay, California.
And it's all about like growing, and it's almost like an outside school. So they go outside for a certain amount of time every day, and it doesn't matter if it's raining, it doesn't matter if it's like snowing, whatever. They want to expose the kids to the outside environment. And she was like one of the very few Black people in the environmental studies program at my school, and took that and was like, I'm going to make my own preschool, and I'm a Black woman, and I know how to consider certain factors and all these facets that we just talked about, right? And like, give our youth the knowledge that they need to be prosperous in this environment. And people overlook it all the time. Like, how often are you thinking about like, oh man, like who has access to what foods?
Not often.
You know?
When it comes up on this podcast, I'm like, oh, we should talk about that. And then on to the next. And then it's a new episode, new week, new problem to scare everybody with.
Right, exactly. But it's just such important work, because you need to teach kids that there are other things, and there are other things out there outside of just like what you have access to, one. But also there's a whole nother area of this conversation that surrounds like knowing that when you pick up a bag of chips from the store, where did it travel from? So the ingredients on the back, right, lists like all these things, and probably potatoes, right? So where are the potatoes coming from?
And high fructose corn syrup.
Right. And the more your food travels, guess what?
The shittier it is. Because they got to put all this like magical scientific stuff in it to keep it so it doesn't create mold in your body.
Like die on the way to your factory that makes the chip, you know? So food mileage is another thing that is like so
important.
So you
want to
keep
the food local and simple and with ingredients that you can pronounce.
Right.
And it's weird that another way that the food industry has really sort of capitalized on that though, but it's made it so those are the ones that are so much more expensive, and it's weird. It seems like, oh, it should be, but I guess it's because the ones that are more complicated, because they're made in a lab essentially,
right,
are cheaper to produce.
Yeah.
Again, which is why, like, I think, I forget where, when, what period it was, but that's why there was so much high fructose corn syrup, because it was so cheap to produce. I wonder if it was during the, when everybody was poor. The Great Recession.
The Great Depression.
Yeah, I think probably. It might have been around then. Or sometime sometime right. when, America, when it was fucked up. And they just put it in everything. That's why we produce so much corn.
Yeah, yeah.
Because corn is cheap.
Right.
Like crack.
So why you're struggling for a meal, folks, just do crack. That's the solution.
I just imagine it. Corn is cheap. Corn is whack.
But let me tell you something. Black don't crack.
That's a popcorn.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, thanks, Emerald.
Yeah.
Are you done? Sorry. I want you to, I want you to have a button.
No, yeah. No, I think the button is that it all ties back into summers when I was young. Mm. My family's from South Georgia, Patterson, a very small town. The closest big town is Waycross. I
still don't know that one.
All my aunts and uncles own land.
Oh my God.
They own land.
The dream.
They're living the dream. They own their own land. Mm. My Uncle George makes his own maple syrup, has pigs, has chickens. We eat their eggs for breakfast. And it's just wholesome, circular
little
process.
Black house, little black people on the prairie.
Little black people on the prairie.
You know what? The true Baps. That's what we'll say. The true bad Baps. Bad Baps. What you gonna do? Toil that soil. It's good for you. Bad Baps. Bad Baps.
That was actually really good. We finally got it.
Yay!
Oh, amazing.
Woo! Did you wet your pants with laughter and knowledge? I tried to warn you. Tried to warn you because I know I did. Wow, what an episode. Emerald's so hilarious. Love her so much. What a fun, fun one. Let's jump into the fact check. Ooh, and I've got some announcements, so hold on to your butts. So quick fact check. So I forgot to mention this. I thought this was really interesting, talking about Bambi. Bambi's only 70 minutes long. So doing a live action movie, I'm excited to see where they might zhuzh up the story a little bit more with female characters. Mama's doing a little bit more. But Bambi was Disney's fifth full-length animated feature. It was made at a time when Disney was failing left and right. Pinocchio was a failure. Fantasia was a failure at the box office, which also goes to show just because something is a failure at the box office now does not mean that over time it won't find its audience. And also, like, World War II was happening. So, I don't know. They had to, like, cut the film short for parts because everyone was donating time and film. So large portions of Bambi were actually cut because Walt was dealing with financial troubles and had conflicts with unions. Good old Walt. Okay, wasn't sure, 110% sure who was president during the Ku Klux Klan Act who signed that into law, and that was the drunkard himself, Ulysses S. Grant. And that was on May 31st, 1870. The Enforcement Act is actually known as the Civil Rights Act of 1870, and also the first Ku Klux Klan Act or Force Act. The first? I mean, there was more. And I wanted to just highlight the timeline of the ERA, Equal Rights Amendment. So the ERA was first proposed in 1923, though Congress did not pass it until 1972. To approve the amendment, ratification was needed in 38 states by 1979. The deadline was later extended to 1982. By then, though, only 35 states had done so. And for years, especially during the 1970s, the issue was just a matter of intense national debate and legislative fights. It's insane. Let's just get this passed. Let's get this passed. I'm glad this is coming back up. Let's pass it. Call your local congresspeople, your senators, call them up. Emerald mentioned PWI. For those of you who don't know, that is a predominantly white institution, which is the majority of the colleges in the U.S. It's also the HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. I did not attend one of those. I attended a PWI. Mm. And it was in the 1970s that high fructose corn syrup was introduced into our diets as an alternative to sugar because it was cheap. Yay. Oh, and this one, I have to side-eye my ex-British boyfriend because he's the one that told me this and it's been stuck in my head ever since. I could not find the UK having a burial for the N-word, but I did find that in 2007, the NAACP laid the word to rest. So, yeah, we did that here in the U.S. Not as funny I think it's funnier for the UK to do it. So if I'm wrong, those of you in the UK, if you were there at the funeral, you have photos or you have articles, please let me know. Because I'm, for years, for over a decade, I swore that this happened because I trusted him. See? Mm-mm. Real quick on the announcement front, big announcements, actually, y'all. We are kicking it up several notches. I apologize. I knew this was in the works, but had no idea it had already launched. But we have Minority Corner merchandise at the Maximum Fun store. You've got to go get it now before it's selling out like hotcakes. So you can get a t-shirt with our phrase, Side Eye Your Heroes, coined by Aneke on this show. Go to the Maximum Fun store, go get your Side Eye Your Heroes t-shirt, and then post a picture of yourself wearing it and tag the new Minority Corner Instagram. That's right, folks. We are finally on the gram. I told you it was coming. I told you, slowly but surely. I am a man of my word. But listen, I am like a one-man like marching band these days here, just marching along with little guest flute players here and there. It just takes me a while, but I get to it. But we do have an Instagram. Follow us on Instagram at Minority Corner. We're also on Twitter at Minority Corner with a K. And we're also in the Minority Corner Kids Playground, which is on Facebook. So be sure to follow us on all of those social media channels. Get involved in the conversation. What did I miss during the fact check? What is some other great juicy things that we should be talking about? Let us know. And get your t-shirts. Go get your t-shirts. Go get it now. Side of Your Heroes t-shirts. We can all be wearing them. And then post pictures of us on Instagram. It'll be fabulous. All right. You all have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner. Because together, we're the majority. Love y'all. Mwah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.